Okay, it's the last day of the year, Erev Rosh Hashanah, the night before, of course, and we're on Yud Aleph Beis, the last two words on the page. We'll be learning Yud Beis, of course, today. Okay, so we just finished the Machlokas. Let's see, what were the names again? It was Rav Yossi and Rav Chiya Bar Ba, right? So Rav Yossi said it was 100 for Bittul of Isser, and Rav Chiya Bar Ba said the Bittul was 60. Well, Gemara is going to say, my Kadon, in other words, what's the basis? What are they arguing about? What are they arguing about? Well, you're based on one off now. I mean, it's just a repeat of the question. I don't know what it's adding here by saying this. They learned it from El Nazir. So the Gemara says that they're both arguing about the same pasuk, which is the zraya of the aisle goes to the kohen, and you cook them. Zroa b'sheila, okay? So it's, you're going to give this cooked zraya to the kohen. It imparted tam from something which is only supposed to go to the kohen, so how can you eat the rest of the aisle? The answer is, it must be that it's bottle. So one said that it was 100. The ratio of zroa to the rest of the aisle is 100. The other one said that the ratio was 60. What kind of machlokas is that? What kind of machlokas is that, huh, Chaim? What are they arguing about? It's a question. First of all, the whole thing doesn't make any sense because, you know, I think it depends how big the aisle is. Every aisle is different, you know, like...
Not really, because it's relational.
Right.
It's what?
It's
proportional.
Therefore,
it'd still be proportional. Okay, that's fair. We're discussing the proportions of 100 to 60, and each one learns from Zerah B'Shela, Ayel Nazir. How do you... Now, what kind of Isser are we talking about? We're talking about, like, it's like kachem that's only roi la'achila for kohanim.
Right, so it would be like meilah.
And so it would be like it's absorbing tam isser. Like, is that what we're talking about? So I guess that's what we're talking about. Okay. So the Gemara goes a little further and goes into more detail about this. Man d'amar echad mimeya, the one that says 1 in 100, at meitzi hatzonos me'azraya. What you need to do is you need to look at the zraya and get rid of the bone structure. So the skeleton, the bone structure is excluded. All you're left with is the meat of the zroa. It's not that much meat in the zroa. And therefore, the proportion to the rest of the animal is 100. Right?
Why wouldn't you get rid of the bones from the rest of the animal?
Good question. You're having to the Gemara's Kasha. That's coming up. Hold your horses. Great question. The Gemara then says, and what about the Mandiyama who says, Echad Mishishim? He does not exclude the bones. So if depending upon whether you include the bones or don't include the bones, will determine whether your ratio is 60 or 100. So there's a machlokas about bittul. There's a machlokas about bittul, but the question is how you calculate it. Sure is. But your maskona is quite different. Your maskona is you're going to use this as your basis. And your maskona is tremendous nafkamina. One's going to say 60, one's going to say 100. It is a machlokas. It's quite a large machlokas. Yeah. So now they're going to want to ask the question.
Would you include other things in other cases where you'd say thing with fruit that has a pit or wheat that has a stalk? You calculate only the edible part versus...
Well, hold that question, okay? We're going to see soon another example, okay? I'm not answering the question completely, but let's learn the Gemara. So the Gemara has asked the Tzvi's question, Kishem shat moitzi etzat somas min hazraya, kach hotziyam min ha'ayo. Just like you got rid of the bone from the zraya part, get rid of the bone structure from the rest of the aisle, and you'll again be left with what? one part in 60. Right? So what's going on over here? So the Gemara says, no, less yachil. You can't do that. You cannot, you're not going to remove the bone structure from the rest of the aisle. This non, the Tony rather, there's a brisa that says, ain't tinoifes shal truma mitzarafasim truma la'asar asachulin. If I have a taruvus of truma getting mixed up with chulin, and there is bran, we're going to learn pasha like the Marafolda says, tinoifes, you should look at the Marafolda, he says, ain't tinoifes shal truma hasubin shebet truma. Ain't mitzarif l'truma liyos shir godol la'asar hachulin. That when it comes to the suvin, it's the bran, right? So when it comes to the bran of wheat that gets mixed into a taruvus of chulin, that bran is not going to add on to the shear. We're going to ignore the bran. So it's the wheat minus bran equals the truma. That will be what will be mashayert when we're figuring it out 100 times the amount that you need. That's when we're looking at the truma. But what about the chulin side? Here the Gemara says, on the chulin, avotinayfes shal chulin mitztarefesim hachulin mahalas truma. When it comes to figuring out how much chulin we have in the 100 side, there we include the bran. The tinayfes is included. So the Gemara is saying a klal here. When it comes to the iser, ignore the tinaifas. When it comes to the heter, include the tinaifas. So that's exactly what we're doing here with our zroa. The zroa v'sheila min ha'ayil, that's going to be without the bones. And the rest of the aisle is with the bones because that's like the tinaifas of the chulin. Tinaifas of the chulin. Perfect match.
So that ends up being a kula.
Yes, yeah. It does. Yes, it certainly does. Yes. Good.
Less of the real thing.
So, I know, that's what I said to you. So your question you asked me before, what about other Yisroel? Here you see another example of another Yisroel where it's the same kind of idea. Yeah.
Does anybody say what the basis for this is? Why on one side yes, on the other side not?
Yeah,
12
on the bottom.
Uh-huh. Let's look at the bottom. 12. The rationale behind this is that while bones do not impart flavor, they nevertheless absorb flavor. So therefore, the flavor imparted by the meat of the foreleg is absorbed and thus nullified by both the meat and the bones. Interesting. So it's a question of absorption, right? Okay. Next, now we're on 12a2. Rabibi boy, here's a question. Tinoifes shall truma, maushes to start from akul mahalas truma. Okay, so now let's move over. Are you saying to Helen to hope that you can understand the Gemara?
I'm trying to find
something. Yeah. Because I see, you know, I see somebody saying to Helen, I'm wondering. It sounds like I didn't explain right.
You're in big trouble.
I'm in big trouble. Okay, so Rabibi asked the question. So, till now we've been talking about the tinaifas on the truma side not being counted towards the iser. The tinaifas on the chulin side being counted towards the bittel. Now, we're going to turn around and say, well, since you're not using the tinaifas of the truma for iser, let's turn around and use it to help be mevatel the truma. We'll add the tinoifes of the truma, since it's not usser anyway. We're saying it's not part of the usser.
I thought that's what we were doing.
No, we haven't counted. We haven't. So far, what we've always done is we've ignored it. Now we're asking, can we count it?
Oh, you mean the truma?
Can I add it to the chulin side? That's the question. Yeah. So, Rabbi
Bibi, we already added it to the chulin side.
The tinoifes of the chulin we added, but we didn't add the tinoifes of the truma to the chulin side. That's the question. Tinoifes of the truma should start from a chulin. How is that truma? That's the question. Can it be mistakes? Zok the Gemara mimado Amar Rav Huna. I can bring a raya. He says it's a famous halacha. I think we had this already once before. Klipe iser mitzdarfois laheter. That when you have eggshells, right? So you put your ostrich egg in your cholent. So it's quite a bit of egg in there, but guess what? You can be mitzarif the shell of the egg to the rest of the cholent to help towards the vittel. Okay, the eggshell is not osir. So hadamra, so from here you see, tenaifas ha-shumma s'ravis ma'cholim lo'halas na'chumma. So you see b'feirish, that even though it's part of the isser, but if it's not part of the isser of the isser, you can use it to be mitzarif to be mevatel the isser. Okay? And that's the way it is. Let's see here. There's a rush here that he quotes in 15. I'm not sure exactly what it means, but it looks important to me. The second paragraph in 15, maybe you guys can explain to me what he's trying to ask over here. The rush explains that while, notes that while Rav Huna indeed rules that the inedible parts of a prohibited substance combined with the permitted matter, the Braisa cited earlier clearly implies to the contrary. Where does it say that? The Braisa specifically stresses that the impurities in the chulin flour combine with the chulin flour in the mixture to create bittel, thus indicating that the impurities in the truma flour do not combine with the chulin flour. Okay, I mean, so he's being medayik from the Braisa that the question was no question. It's like, it's a funny diuk, no? He's making his own diuk. The rush is basically acting like a tana or whatever. He's being medayik that if the Braisa said that the tinoifas shel chulin is mitzarif, why did it only pick the chulin? It should have said all tinoifas, all both are mitzarif. Why didn't it say that? It must be that Tinefis is not Mistarf, which is not like Rav Huna.
But the second case that we just asked about was the Tinefis of Truma should be Mistarf with the Chulin.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
So I don't understand his point.
His point is that you're basically, he's making the Gemara's question sound like something which was just fundamentally flawed to begin with. They brought a riot from this thing with the eggs. Okay, so the eggshells are mitzarif with them. So you see the egg, just like the eggshells are mitzarif to be mivatel, so too the tinoifas shel truma.
Of the trefa eggs.
The trefa eggs will mitzarif to be mivatel the trefas. Right? Now, why didn't he just look at the Braisa? The original Braisa said that the tinoifas of chulin is mitzarif with the chulin. But it didn't say the tinoifas...
That's what we're talking about.
What?
He's talking about that the eggshell of the nevela should be mitzarif with the other egg.
I understand that, but he...
In the previous case, we talked about the tinoifas of the chulin with the chulin, and now the Gemara is asking, what about the tinoifas of the truma?
Why didn't the Gemara medayik from that braisa that you see it's not because it only gave the heter for the tinoifas chulin? Okay, that's his question. No, it's walking on eggshells. Let's keep going. Tony Reb Chiya, kol mashra asati l'chol b'mokam acher hitati l'chol kan. Whatever I prohibited for you elsewhere, I permitted for you here regarding the Nazir's ram. Exactly what this means will become clear in a second. L'fishu b'chol mokam mea osir, mea v'oid mutter. All the places forbidden food requires 100 cooked in the mixture, totaling exactly 100 parts. So it's 100 plus 1, and it's permitted. Baram hacha, afilu mea mutter. Here, however, you don't need 101. All you need is 100. So he's saying that the foreleg of the Nazir's ram, even a mixture totaling exactly 100 parts, is permitted. Even though the ratio of the rest of the ram to the foreleg is only 99 to 1, Torah makes an exception to the general rule and permits the foreleg for consumption by Yisraelim. So, in 17, he's marach a little bit. You want to just read a little bit of it? So the Braisa has an opinion that the rest of the ram is 99 times larger than the foreleg, rather than the 100 or 60 that we said before. So he's also of the opinion, this is the important point, the law that we find regarding the nullification of the foreleg is a novelty, means it's a chiddush. So in other words, what the Gemara's point here is that this din, that we're mater, the rest of the animal, in spite of it being connected to something that's usur, is a chiddush. And does not bear on the general rule of vilification. So what is the extent of that chiddush? So what he's doing, he's limiting the chiddush. Instead of needing 100 to 1, he's requiring 99 to 1.
Right.
So he's just...
Is that like a hecker? So that we know that...
I don't know. I don't know where it comes from.
Who measures that precisely?
That's a good question. Now we're really cutting the hairs on the thing. Yeah. Okay, well, that's what he says. Next, let's keep going. Yud Beis. Bottom of Yud Beis on Aleph. M'hoisim v'asayim aser, it says, or Yud Beis on Beis. How do you measure whether you have 200 or not? This famous Rambam Pirsha Mishnayis that we all are familiar with, and here it's actually Yerushalmi where the Rambam got what he says. I always quoted this Yerushalmi Pirsha Mishnayis, but Yerushalmi b'feirush.
It's back to Orla now?
Yeah, now we're back to Orla. So the food is aser unless it has 200 tons. So the Beis Rabbianai Mashan Bahadein Rab Yarbuza. You use this Yarbuza plant. So it says over here it's a type of vegetation. Could be it's asparagus. This is something else. Whatever it is. There's a question here whether we're using the Yarbuza always or it's just an example. Because the Yarbuza we could easily determine its ratios. Okay. Case of the day. How do you know? You pick one yarbuza out of the ground, leave the other yarbuza attached to the ground, and now measure the time it takes for the yarbuza to dry out. Right? So when my yarbuza dries out, I measure that time. So let's say it took it 60 days. Let's make it simple. 200 days. It took it 200 days to dry out. So that means 1/200th of 200 days is 1 day. That's how much it's moisef masayim. If it took 200 days for it to dry out, then that means its sustainment while it's attached to the ground is 1 day per 200. Okay? That's the idea. So, keach lokeid achad, miniach achad, ma sheze poches, ze mosif. That's the general idea. Okay? It's a nice little experiment. You can try it at home. All right, let's go on. Netiyah shel arla or halacha beis, halacha four. Netiyah shel arla shel koya kem shenis arva b'netiyos hareis lo yolkom. So now we're going to talk about taruva. Okay, so I have a field, and in my field, the case of arla is an easy case. I have a field with 50 trees in my field, 100 trees, maybe even 200 trees. Make it 200 trees. Let's make it so that's not even, and so even we're dealing with a number which normally would be bittul by Arla. So we have 200 trees. One of the trees is Arla, and I forgot which one. So now I have a whole orchard full of trees, one of which is Arla, and the rest which are, let's say, netarvoi. Which one is Arla? Although netarvoi, what do you do? So the Mishnah says...
Why have they been climbing into this?
It's also the same din. Yeah, they all they have the same halacha. They're both asur b'hano. So klayah karam is asur b'hano. Orla is asur b'hano. So it would also be true by klayim. You had one of your vines in my vineyard was asur b'hano because of klayim. They get all mixed up. So what does it say? Hareze lo yilkot. You cannot collect. Can't pick any of your whole orchard. The whole thing becomes usur. Keep track, Rabbi Oberstein. Keep track.
Next time I have an orchard.
Next time you have an orchard that has climb in it, be very careful to mark it with market. Then leakate. Now, if you did pick it, now we have to actually say this quickly. Why is it not bottle?
Because
it's mechobel l'karka. And there's no bittul by something that's mechobel l'karka. Now, if you picked, suppose I picked it.
That's the fruit, not the tree.
Yeah, if I picked the fruit, which is the same answer, right? Yal b'achin masayim. Then, if you pick 201 fruits, then it'll be bottle, right? Well, eventually, it's kavin lo kol, but you can't do it on purpose because I'm about to nisa lechatchila. Okay? He holds, yes, you could be mechavin lechatchila. So that we have machlokes. Okay, next. Netiyah shel arla, netiyah shel kol yakarim. So the Gemara asks, we understand the case of netiyah shel arla, that's an easy case. But the netiyah of kliyim is a little more complicated. Why? Because if you call netiyah shel arla kliyim bekarim, anything that grows, if I'm not dealing with, the Gemara for some reason is ignoring the karim. The Gemara is focusing on the wheat that grew. So I had wheat. What's the case?
Yeah, why can't you have something that's not quiet? I mean, why can't you have one min?
How could you have only one sapling which was clay akarim? That's the Gemara's question. It's a little bit of a funny question.
You had a field of wheat. You planted one vine.
He says, let's look at eight. When one plants a grain or vegetable seed inside a vineyard, all the vines within a 16-ama radius become prohibited as klei akarim. So if you draw a circle in 16 amas, so you're drawing a 16-ama circle, everything's also... It's a Matthias question. How do you have one... You have one...
Trees are very far apart from each other.
How do you have one netiyah of klei akarim? That's the Gemara's kasha. I just told you one.
There's a lot of space between the trees.
We learned in Kilayim. We have apart from each other, it's not going to be considered a
normally it's 2, 2, and 1, right?
Right.
2, 2, and 1. That's the minimal karam.
Okay.
So if you go ahead and you put it underneath, if I were to put some wheat underneath the vines growing outside of, one of them, it would usher the whole karam. Whole karam becomes usher, not just that one piece.
Because those five is considered a unit.
Yeah, but that's not a netiyah. The Gemara's point is it's much more than a netiyah. We're not asking a netiyah's question only. How is it possible to have such a small ratio here? Okay?
What if you planted them together and you took a seed of an apple tree and a seed of a grapevine?
Let's leave the trees out of it. Let's just use other. I don't think trees are a problem.
Okay.
Let's use wheat.
You put a seed of wheat and a seed of grape, you put it in the same hole, you cover it and water it. You don't need carom for that. There you have clayum, and there's one.
I'm not asking how is it possible to have a case of kliyim with one.
The question is why he would do it.
Well, the case of the Mishnah is a case where we have an entire vineyard that everything becomes osur.
Right.
What's that case? What is that case where you only have an atiyah? Let's take Shamsi's example. I've got 200 vines, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I put the seed in one of them. It's not just going to osur that one little plant.
It's going to apostle
everything within a 16-ama radius. And so you got a lot more than one netiyah involved here. It's a netiyah's question.
Maybe it just happened by inadvertent. I was got mixed in there.
So
what got mixed in? Kenya Masnisa. Let's learn the Gemara's answer. The Mishnah has to be understood. Aruga shel klei akarim. It's a sapling of arla or a vegetable or grain patch of klei akarim. I'm in the Gemara. 12b2.
That was the Gemara. That was the question.
Yeah. Call the climb. That was the question. The Gemara answers. Kenim asnisa aruga shel klei akarim. If a sapling. What?
It's more than one.
It's a patch, right? Rabbi Masis Aruga Shel Klei Akarim. It's also the same terrace. Some people just erase that last couple of words. So what's 9? The Mishnah refers to where there were rows of vegetables, and a vine sprouted in one of them, rendering that specific patch Klei Akarim. The vine was subsequently uprooted, and the Kli HaKerem patch became indiscernible among the other permitted patches. So that's how you have it. In other words, we're not measuring one netiyah of a vine. It's one netiyah of these vegetables. Okay? Next. Om Rav Yossi Rabun, Keshehevi Otzis Nokav, Hevi Rotakas HaGefen. If you had a flower pot, had a hole in it, and you went and you walked underneath the vine, and you, of course, had to wait there until the Hois of Messiah, because you have to have Hois of Messiah, then...
What was in the flower pot?
A wheat.
Oh.
Right? And
yeah.
It's the second time. What's going on over here?
I don't know.
If it happens again, I'm going to give it a kenosh. 10. So what's the answer over here? So this is what... He passed the flower pot containing a seeded grain beneath the extended tendrils of a vine that extend more than 4 amas outside the vineyard. Okay? So since part of the vine is hovering over the grain growing in the perforated pot, the entire vine is also Kli HaKerem. But since the grain is not growing within 4 amas of the vineyard, all the other vines in the vineyard remain permitted. The perforated flower pot is subsequently removed, no longer discernible, and so you only have... So basically, he came up with a case where you were able to isolate a single vine. Have it on the edge, have it extending its tendrils outside of the domain of the vineyard, and then you have this case. Okay, he came up with a case. Rav Shimon Lakish Hashem Chizkiya, Lakish Shloisha Ashkalas U'Matzer. Okay, you know what? This part of the rest of the Gemara, we're going to save that for it's really the beginning of a new sugya. But what basically what he's saying here is, if you were to pick 3 different eshkolos, so then you have Bittel Barov, because you have 2 against 1. Okay, we're going to see more about that. It's Hashem over. Everybody should have Hashem tov tichasim v'sechasim. Atalheim Tavim Shalom should all be Takabi Matzliach and learning, and they should be should have only.
I want to add Mechilah from everybody here for what?
What you do?
Okay, no, I don't want to record.